Father, closest friend, most beautiful, most beautiful. If you would, take a seat right where you are. We're going to be turning into John chapter 1. John chapter 1. If everybody will get there, say amen and amen. God is good. Amen. We're going to pull that down. John chapter 1. We'll pull that synthesizer down. John chapter 1. Are you there? Say amen and amen. It's good to be in the house of the Lord. We're starting a new series called Hashtag Jesus. How many people use hashtags in your life? You have a hashtag? Yeah, so all the young people said, yeah, it's a little bit hot on the mics. Thank you. And so John chapter 1, we thought, let's do a Hashtag Jesus series. So for the next 4 weeks today, and of course Easter Sunday, and then Mr. McKinley will be bringing the word to us, and so I'm excited to hear. Amen. And then we'll have another, as Pastor Ted closes out that series, and we're excited today. It's called Jesus Comes to My Neighborhood. Talk to your neighbor and say, come to my neighborhood. I'm excited that Jesus would come to our neighborhoods. That he is not a God that is far away. He is a God that is close to us. And he wants to remind us this morning that he will come. There's concerning trends in our environment, in our churches. There's all kinds of concerning trends, right? I guess for the end of time, as we get closer and closer to the approach of Christ, you'll see some in concerning trends. But since COVID, which was about 2 years ago, can you believe that? Like, remember that? March 15th, when they showed shut the world down, and I was like, what is this? We've never had this happen to us in all of my life, for sure. My mama, she was raised down the bayou, so there was a time, I think, one of the diseases in the 20s that came and sort of ripped through the country and through the world, but this was the first time in my life, And so as believers, they sort of shut down the church and they shut down community. And if you are a Christian this morning, you might call it fellowship. So all of a sudden, you can't go to church and you can't go to small groups. And so in young people, we couldn't hang out anymore. And we were seeing a decline in attendance. And so we see that even as we speak, the church has lost 20 to 30% of attendance in the house of the Lord. And that troubles pastors. That would trouble us personally, but it's troubling to the church. There's a national decline in youth groups all across our nation. There's a decline of young people that will go into the house of the Lord, even if you offer them everything on the planet, free pizza and everything else. They're not going to come because they can do something on media that would be better. Remember, we do Zoom meetings. How many people do a Zoom meeting now? I like Zoom meetings a little bit secretly because you can put that black face screen on. You know what I'm talking about? You can take care of all your kids and you can pretend like you're listening to the message that they're saying. And I did that the other day with some youth pastor friends. And I was like, I'm about it, but I have 4 kids. And they are crazy at night. And so we were sitting there and so they've become convenient. We went from watching one show on television and now we binge watch a series on Netflix, you know, because the government told us to do that. They said, hey, stay at home and just watch TV. And so we did. And it was a safe place for us. And we went from talking. Remember when I used to talk on the phone? Now we don't do that. We just text you. We're just going to text you because you ain't going to answer your phone anyway. And then you don't even respond back, which I get really crazy about. And all the young people know that. If I text you, I want a response. I want to know that we're in community and we're talking to each other. And now there's something called the metaverse. Have you heard of the metaverse? So I'll just let you know there is something called the metaverse. So Facebook has come into this metaverse world. And I talk about this all the time. I talked with the ladies this week and a couple of us. We were talking and there are now virtual churches. And I'm not talking about those that are listening to us online. There are virtual churches in a virtual world. And you put these goggles on. Do you know what I'm talking about? Those white goggles. What are they called? Yes, VR. I don't know what they're called. And so you put them on your face and you would attend church. Now get this. The biggest church in America, Craig Rochelle's church, it's called Life Church. And he has them all across the nation right now. He opened up a church in the metaverse in March. And he's the leading pastor. People would call him maybe perhaps America's pastor. And here's what you do. You would put the virtual reality set on you, and you would walk into his church in the metaverse, and people will greet you. And you will pick an avatar, something that you want to be, maybe something that's a little bit better looking than you are, and maybe a little bit, you know, skinnier than you are, or whatever it is that you have problems with personally. So you get to walk into something that you're really not, but you walk into the metaverse church, somebody greets you. And after they greet you, you sit down in a congregation and you hear the band. You're probably not going to worship, because let's be honest, do we really worship when we're watching virtually, or do we do all the other things that we're supposed to be doing? And so you sit there, you listen to the band, you listen to the preacher, and when he opened his church, two people in the crowd gave their life to the Lord, which is good, but then they left and they got a little bit of merchandise. You know, when you go to conferences and you get merch, and so you get the merchandise, and so you can grab a shirt in the metaverse, not a real shirt. Let's just get a metaverse shirt. And so you get a shirt. I've been to Craig Rochelle's Life Church. And so you get a shirt and you walk out the door, but you're still in your house. And so then maybe you go take a walk on Google Earth and you visit a virtual mall, or Justin Bieber just did a concert in the metaverse, and people are buying up land for millions of dollars, not in America, but in the virtual world. This is true. This is very, very true. And so it's coming. It's coming. There's this new idea that we don't have to be in community with each other, that we don't have to like talk face to face. But then you see so much anxiety. You see so much depression. You see an unprecedented amount of suicide in our young people. How many people have seen drug overdoses? I mean, all the time my kids are coming home and there is yet someone else in their 19, 20, 21 that have passed away because they've overdosed. And I'm not talking about the bad kids. I'm talking about the band kids. You know what I'm talking? There's a difference. And so there's this problem that is happening in our community, that is happening in our nation, and jumping into a meta world where it could be sort of feel good and it might make you look good and you might even have an experience is not the same as community, as what we did this past weekend with 15 women hanging out together. And you get to see me and all of my flaws and all my goodness too, and that we get to sharpen each other and have iron that sharpens. We've never interacted with humanity. Now here's the thing, the God that we serve is fully human, Jesus, but fully God. And the Bible says that he came to our neighborhood. Now, hashtag. We're going to talk about hashtag Jesus. Hashtag is making something important. When you put a hashtag in front of it, it's like the pound sign. You see it right in front of the Jesus. What we want to do in this series is we want to put, especially like on Twitter, or on all these social media feeds, you would put maybe a hashtag in front of Hurricane Ida. You would put hashtag Hurricane Ida. You click on it, and then you get to see all of the things that have happened through Hurricane Ida on that media feed. It's basically saying this, that you are linking to a community of people that have also been through Hurricane Ida. It's not a bad thing, but now what we want to do in this series is that we want to say hashtag Jesus, that he would become the most important thing in our lives. And not just to say that with our words, but to live that out with our actions, that he would become the Jesus that serves, that we would become the Jesus that serves, that everything, that we would become more like him and less like us. So John chapter 1, are you there? Shout amen. John chapter 1, we're looking at John chapter 1 in verse 1. And I love this. It says, now, just before we get into John, let me just tell you a couple of things about the book of John. John is, there's four gospels. There's Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. And there are three that are called the synoptic gospels, which is a very fancy word for the same. Everybody say the same. So I have a screen here. Remember Sesame Street? Whenever I have a slide. And so on the Sesame Street slide, see parables in the book of John. You don't really see the kingdom in the book of John. Instead, he has a long, long passages about eternal life. Remember John 3? He sees Nicodemus in John 3:16, one of the most famous scriptures of all. What does he say? For God so loved the world that he gave what? His only son, that whoever believes in him will not what? Perish, but have everlasting life. And he's running these themes. John is running these themes throughout his scripture. And he's saying, here's what I want you to do. I am writing to you so that you would believe. That's in the passage. That's why he's writing. And what would he want us to believe? It starts in John chapter 1 with Jesus coming to our neighborhood. Somebody say neighborhood. John chapter 1 and verse 1. I'm finally there. It says, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Now, if you're reading through the scriptures with us, that would remind you of Genesis. The most scholars would say that John is sort of taking what Genesis says and saying, but here is what we have been waiting for. We have been waiting for God, the Creator God. By Genesis chapter 3, we see him kicking us out of the garden. But in John chapter 1, he says, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Somebody say, was God. It says in verse 2, he was the beginning with God, and all things are made through him. That's through Jesus. And without him was not anything made that was made. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. So again, he comes back to this idea. John does, he says, there's this idea that the God of heaven who created you, who formed you in your mother's womb, who knows everything about you, that he wants to be in fellowship. Somebody say fellowship. He wants to be in fellowship with us. The Creator God, we're talking about the one who has done it all, says, I am still longing, even though Genesis 3 has happened, I am still longing to live and dwell with my people. In verse 4, it says this, in him was life, and the life was the light of men. And the light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. In verse 6, it says, there was a man sent from God whose name was John. Now, this is not the John who writes this book. This is John the baptizer that he is talking about. Remember, John comes into the desert. He's eating locusts and honey, and he comes out in the desert and says, repent and be baptized. And so John, the best friend of Jesus, talks about John the baptizer, and he says in verse 7, he came as a witness to bear witness about the light, that all men might believe through him. He was not the light, but he came to bear witness about the light. Continuing on in verse 9, it says, the true light, which gave light to everyone, was coming into the world. He was in the world. Now, we're talking about Jesus here. So let's go back and grab verse 9, and let's use that in the illustration and the thought process that this is Jesus. It says, the true light, Jesus, which gives light to everyone, Jesus, was coming into the world, Jesus. Now, in verse 10, it says, Jesus was in the world, and the world was made through him. That's so profound to me, that Jesus came to the world, and yet the world was made what? Through him. So the Creator of heaven and earth, the Creator of animals and seas and skies, he comes into the package of humanity and says, this community thing is so important that I'm going to live with you. And he doesn't live in the convenience of 2022 with electricity and whatever other thing in automobiles. He comes 2,000 years ago. Why? Because he wants to be in community with you. Everybody point to yourself and say, with me. He wants to be in community. He was in the world, and it says in verse 10, and the world was made through him, yet the world did not know him. So even though the Creator God comes and he wants to live with us, even made through him, it says, yet the world, so there can be people in our world today that would know the goodness of Jesus, that they would know that he comes into our neighborhoods and lives with us, and yet they cannot know him because they're more concerned about themselves. Keep on reading in verse 11. It says, he came to his own, that would be the Jews, and his own people did not receive him. But here comes that theme again that John's writing. He wants you to believe. He said, but to all who did receive him, who believed in his name, he gave the right to become what? Children of God. Who were born not of blood, nor the will of the flesh, nor the will of the man. And again, this is a theme all throughout the scripture of John. He says that you would be born again. In John 3:16, he says that. So you can be born again, Nicodemus. You can have a new life. Not that you will be new on the outside, but that God will make you new on the inside. And in verse 13, it says, who were born not of blood, not of the will of the flesh, nor the will of man, but of God. So all that you... to who receive him. It's a gift. It's a free gift. Jesus is a free gift. And then it says in verse 14, and we're going to park right here this morning. It says, and the word became flesh and dwelt among us. If you're underlining or you're taking notes or you're snapping it or whatever it is, it says, and the word became flesh and dwelt among us. And we have seen his glory. So who is John's writing? I've seen it. I'm not just writing about something that I think is going to happen. I have seen this. I have seen that God of heaven comes down to earth, and we have seen his glory. The glory as the Son from the Father, full of grace and truth. If you're underlining something else, notice that Jesus is full of grace and truth. We're coming back there. In verse 15, it says, John bore witness about him and cried out, this is whom I have said. He comes after me. He ranks before me. And so from the fullness we have received grace upon grace upon grace. And a lot of us in the room, a little bit more grace and a little bit more grace, for the law was given through Moses, but grace and truth came through Jesus Christ. No one has ever seen God, the only God, who is at the Father's side, but Jesus has made him known. Today we want to pause on verse 14. Jesus goes to the neighborhood. He comes to the neighborhood. Remember in Genesis chapter 1, we've talked about this. He says this in Genesis chapter 1, verse 26. It's going to be on the screen. It says, then God said, let us make man in our own image, in our own likeness, and let them have dominion over the fish of the sea and the birds of the heavens and over the livestock and over the earth and every creeping thing that creeps upon earth. Now, whenever he says, then God said, who is he talking to? God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit, that Trinity that we talk about. They're creating man in the likeness of himself. That's why we are image bearers. You're an image bearer of God. That's why we're not to bully or make fun, because we have the glory of God over our lives. But in chapter 3, verse 8, it'll be on the screen. It says Adam, he creates Adam, and then he has Eve out of the rib of Adam. And it says, and they heard the sound of the Lord God walking in the garden in the cool of the day. But by verse 24, he says this, God drove out the man at the east of the garden, and the woman too, because she sort of started it. And at the east of the garden of Eden, and he placed the cherubim and a flaming sword that turned every way. Can you imagine an angel? And I'm not talking about a Charmin angel. I'm talking about a mighty warring angel that turns every way and is blocking the garden of Eden. And he's saying, because of your sin, he says, I can't be around you. So I have an angel in front of you. And for the rest of the Old Testament, we see this God who wants to be in our neighborhood, but we keep on screwing it up. We keep on messing it up. If he told us to do one thing, we're going to do another. And you can't blame the Israelites, because we're just like them. I mean, let's be honest. And so by John chapter 1, he says this in verse 14, and the word became flesh and blood. The Message version of this, and we learned this yesterday at the ladies' conference, but honestly, I had it in my notes before. The Message is a paraphrase Bible by Eugene Peterson, and he writes this: the word became flesh and blood and moved into the neighborhood. Jesus moves into our neighborhood. Hashtag Jesus moves. Why? Because he wants a relationship. He doesn't want you just to come on Sunday, but he doesn't want just that. That's not a relationship. He doesn't just want an Easter service. This place can be packed out Easter. You know that, right? And so he doesn't just want an Easter Christian or a Christmas Christian. The Lord of heaven says, I gave my son to come into your neighborhood so that you can have a relationship with me. And that's not just for the pastor or the preacher or for the worship leader. That's for you. Somebody say, it's for me. It's for me. God wants relationship with you. He wants to be with you. And so many times we're like, oh, I just wish this person was with me. Or I wish I was closer to my husband. Or I wish I was closer to my wife. Those are good things. I wish my kids loved me a little bit more. I say that sometimes. And they do love me tremendously. But the God of heaven wants relationship with us, so much so that he comes into our neighborhoods. He comes to where we live. And Jesus packs his bags out of heaven and he comes to the neighborhood. The creator of all of the world says, I am going to live with my creation. That's you. That's us. He's going to live with us. It's unbelievable, really. This is Jesus, the one that comes with us. And he wants to be with you. And he wants to be with you. He desires relationship with us. He misses you. The Bible says in Zephaniah, he sings over you. The God of heaven sings over us. I don't even sing well, and I don't even sing over anybody. But the Lord of heaven sings and dances and rejoices in you, his creation. Somebody needs to hear that this morning. You've been walking around with shame and guilt. You've been walking around thinking, how could the God of heaven love me? I want to say that he is in love with you. He's not just in love with the world. He makes it personal. But that's why he shows up into the neighborhood. He doesn't just keep it in heaven. He says, no, I'm coming down because I want to be close to my kids. If you're a parent in the room and you've been away from your kids for a little bit of time, what's the first thing you do when you come home? My little girl, I have crazy kids, so this is not always the greatest example, but they were waiting for me at the door when I pull up. And so my little girl, she comes into the car and she's like, Mom! And I don't know if it's like we adopted kids, and so I don't know if that's the reason why or if she's just crazy in general. But she comes into my lap and we pull the car into the garage together, just me and her, just chilling. And then the boys come out and I don't know what they were doing because I was like, but they come out and we're all in the garage together. Why? Because there's that relationship there. There's this longing that we have to be with each other because we're family. And Jesus says this morning, he wants to come to your neighborhood, to your house, to your place. He's saying, I'm waiting on you. You remember that in the prodigal story where the God of heaven waits for his son to return home. And when he sees his son, he does the most un-Jewish thing and he runs out of the hill and he says, I've just been longing to spend time with you. I've been longing to come to your neighborhood. I've been coming to your house. I was reading this one author, I love her, and she tweeted, she said her day got busy, and she said, I didn't spend time with Jesus. She said, I bet you he misses me. And I thought, what a perspective. I'm blaming myself. I wish I'd have did that. I wish I'd have spent more time with Jesus. And her perspective was, I bet you Jesus misses hanging out with me. And I thought, that's what God wants. He wants to be in our neighborhoods. He wants to be in your home. The creator of the universe says, come and go to my neighborhood. And then the message says this, the point of the story this morning is, if Jesus comes to my neighborhood, so must I. If Jesus comes and says, I'm going to be with you, I love you, I sing over you, I before I formed you in your mother's womb, I knew you, then the message that we must bear is that there is a world lost and dying that doesn't know that good news. The news is that this God of heaven loves us so much and we spend time in relationship with him, but then that we also became and we become the feet of Jesus and we go out into our neighborhoods and we say the same good news. And so personally in my life, God has been calling me to my personal neighborhood. Now your neighborhood might be your job. Your neighborhood might be your workplace. Your neighborhood, young people, might be your school. Can I get an amen? Because Jesus needs to show up at Ellender Memorial High School and thou terrible, and whatever place you are, and whatever job, and all those places, the good news of hashtag Jesus is he shows up in my neighborhood, but he wants to go to your neighborhood, and we are the light that brings it there. Like John the Baptizer in John chapter 1, we are to go and be the difference makers that the world sees. And the problem is that church in so many places is Sunday mornings at a particular time, and we go back to our neighborhoods and we shut the garage door and we say, that was good. And God's moving in my life, but there is a neighborhood that is lost and dying, and this forever will be my heart because I see it all over town. We've seen more murder. We've seen more people that have been hit and all kinds of abusive things. And God is calling us like Jesus, who says, I love you and care for you and dance over you. We are to go and tell that to someone else. We are to go and say that to someone else. So about 3 months ago, I was in a Bible study with my sister and a couple of her friends. And we were hanging out. We were studying Elijah. And it was good. It was good. And God was speaking to my life. And the first Bible study I spent with her, he said, Tara, you're supposed to do this in your neighborhood. And I was like, God, I am so busy. I don't have a lot of time. And he said, I want you to do it in your neighborhood. I live in a neighborhood in Bayou Blue. So I said, sure. I said, yes. And then how your yes, like you take a little while to follow through. I don't know if you're like me. Ecclesiastes 5 says, be careful in what you say. And so God just been speaking over that, over my life. I said, sure, I'll go to my neighborhood. So we made a flyer. I talked to the little girl right next to me. She goes to Covenant Christian on the other side of town. And I said, God's been calling me. She said, me too. Let's do it together. So I said, okay, we'll do it together. So we went into the Facebook media. They have like a neighborhood page. And we just sort of said, sometimes they say crazy things in this neighborhood page, and they're mean and crass, and I'm just like, ooh. And I go into there, and I said, we're going to start a ladies' Bible study if you want to come. And I was crickets, you know, like, who wants to come to a ladies' Bible study? No, we just want to do our own thing. And yet Jesus moves into the neighborhood, so I'm going to be extra because I'm extra. And so I made flyers. We have 100 houses in our neighborhood. You want to know why I know that? Because I made 100 flyers, and we ran out. And so my little youngest daughter, she's like, I put her in the front seat of the car, which is illegal. And so if you drove with me, you know. And so I'm sitting there, and we go, and I don't know if this is legal either, but we're putting letters into people's mailboxes. Hey, why don't you come to the ladies' Bible study? Some people say it's probably not legal. But I'm just like, God, I just want to reach my neighborhood. And so three Thursday nights ago, I said, well, we did 100 flyers. I have been social media crazy. And 4 ladies showed up. But the goodness of God is that one lady I know has never been to the house of God. She's sitting there and she's just nodding and looking. She came because she knew the friend of the person we're doing it together. And we just begin to share the good news. Jesus comes to the neighborhood. You know what happened because of this? And I'm still a couple weeks into my neighborhood Bible study. You know what happens when you go to your neighborhood? Then the neighborhood becomes your concern. It becomes the concern. Remember in Genesis chapter 4 where Cain kills Abel. And then Cain says, am I my brother's keeper? And I would say, yes, you are. Yes, you are. If Jesus comes to the neighborhood, then I am to tell my neighborhood about the goodness of Jesus. I don't know what that looks like for you. So young people, you might need to go start a Christian club in your school. You might need to go and pray around your flagpole. But what happens is now every time I go into my neighborhood where I had no concern and no care, and that's you, and let me go to my house and cook my food for my family and do my thing, what has happened is God has begun to birth something inside of me that every time I pull into my driveway, I start praying over the houses. It just happened. Why? Because I have a concern now. I'm invested into my neighborhood. My family, they found a dog on Friday night, and so my husband posted, and now we've got like neighborhood friendships happen that we've never had. And you know, we begin to pray over those houses, and I'm beginning to pray over those people. Neighborhoods are our concern. That's why God plants churches in different places that are different for all kinds of people. Why? Because he came flesh and blood and went to our neighborhood. Somebody say neighborhood. You got to love people where they are. It sounds simple, but it can be challenging. We build relationships. We say, God, how can you use me to reflect Jesus to my neighborhood, my job, my community? Here's three things. I don't think they're going to be on the screen because I forgot to highlight them. So here's three things if you're writing them down. Ask God to create opportunities for you to talk to your neighbors, your coworkers, your school members. Ask God this morning, today, say, God, I know you came for me, but I know you came for others. Ask God. Begin to make that a prayer of your life. Here's number two, prayer walk your neighborhood. I remember when I was in college at the Nicholls State University. I have a degree from there. I don't use it. And so, but I remember those 4 years, my pastor would say, we're going to walk Nicholls campus and pray over the campus. And weekly, we would go and have a prayer walk over the campus. God, I believe in the name of Jesus. God, I speak life into the music department. And for those art people, God, help them. And so, God, and those football players, and we began to speak the name of Jesus over those places. Why? Because it does something in us. It begins to say, we're a part of this, that Jesus came to the neighborhood. And so you begin to, if you work at a job and your job's a little bit, you could pray. I remember I was a band director at Sirius, and so we had 200 kids in our band. And every week, the janitors would come in and they would pick up all 200 chairs to mop the floors. And I would get so aggravated because guess who had to put the 200 chairs back? Me, during my off hour. And so I could have complained and griped about that, but the Lord spoke to me. He said, I want you to pray over every chair. Okay. So as I'm sitting on a prayer, God, I pray for so and so in the name of Jesus. God, I pray for salvation in their life. God, I pray that you will come to their neighborhood. And I've got a band student up in the house this morning that came from that particular band. Why? Because when we pray, that God hears us. And so ask for God to give you opportunities to talk to your neighbors. Ask for God, prayer walk your neighborhood or your job. Prayer walk your kids' rooms and anoint them in the name of Jesus. Throw some oil, anointing oil up on that in the name of Jesus. God, I bet that you would go to their neighborhood, that you would touch even my own kids, and then pray that God would give specifically as a family for your neighborhood or for your family or for your jobs. Can you throw on that music, Michael? Whatever one I always use. But I have a question. How do we do that? Can you go back to the scriptures? John chapter 1. It says this in verse 14. It says, and the word became flesh and dwelt among us. It goes to our neighborhoods. And that's good news for us, specifically those of us that have been in a place where we've been out of community or we feel like we've done too much. Does the Lord see? It says, and we have seen his glory. Glory is the only Son from the Father. Can you notice the next part? It says this. I love this part. It says, full of grace and truth. How are we to go to our neighborhoods, to your job, to your schools? It's not screaming out that you're wrong. You're not following all the laws of God just like I'm following all the laws. No, the assignment that we have over our lives is to go over our neighborhoods like Jesus, full of grace first and truth. I'm not going to back away from the truth. I'm not. The word of God is true. It's the living and active and sharper than any sword. So I go with the truth of God, but I always have the grace of God. Look at that. It says it at the end in verse 18. It says, no one has ever seen God, the only God. And in verse 16, it says, for him is fullness. We have all received what? Grace upon grace. And imagine that would say, upon grace, how many times have I failed the Lord? How many times have I not got it right? How many times, let's just be honest, how many times have I sinned? And yet the Lord in his goodness comes to my neighborhood and says, you can repent and come back to me. I dance over you. I sing over you. So whenever I go to my neighborhood, it's not like I'm right. It's just like Jesus is right. And I'm going to go with grace. I'm going to love on you. And believe the power of the Holy Spirit to do his work. And as you give your life to Christ, he'll start taking out all the junk. I don't have to do that. God's doing that. Like, I got to pray. Got to prayer walk my neighborhood. Got to ask God for opportunities. But that assignment is on the Lord. So when we go, we don't have to go mean. We go with his grace. Because he gave you grace. And then we go with his truth. Here's the truth of God's word. Let me break that down to you. Let me show you some things in the Word of God. Let me pray over your life. Can you bow your head, please, and close your eyes? This felt like as I was speaking, the Lord would say there's some people in the room that have been far away. You've been far away and you think that the Lord probably is not going to your neighborhood. Or maybe he's already going to your neighborhood and you said yes and now you're saying no, and yet the Lord loves you. If there's someone with a suicidal thought over their life, a spirit of depression, a spirit of discouragement, and you've been sort of walking around in that instead of knowing that the God of heaven has come to your neighborhood and he dances over you and he sings over you and that he has created you in your mother's womb. And maybe you know it, but you have forgotten that in your heart. But you believe that God wants to pour his love over you today. I know that's not the message, but I just feel like as I was preaching that particular part, the Lord said that. That he cares for you, that you are his kid, that he loves you, that he has a plan and a purpose for you. As if he had a refrigerator and your picture's up on it. And you don't have to make enough good grades or you don't have to do the right thing or say all the right things. He's just crazy about you. It's why when Genesis 3 happens, he's finding a way in John chapter 1 to come back to your neighborhood to grab a hold of your life and say, I love you with an everlasting love. Isn't it in Romans, it says how deep and how wide is the love of God? How unfathomable is the love of God over your life? And today, God just wants to pour that love over you. If that's you in the room, just don't even stand up. Just sort of lift up your hand. Every head bowed, every eye closed. But if that's you this morning, would you just sort of lift your hand right where you are? And I'm just going to pray that God would just show himself. The God of heaven comes to you today. The God of heaven has sent you to this place at this time to say, I love you and care for you like nobody else will. Stop looking for it in relationships. Stop looking for it in your job. Stop looking for it in all these other places. Rather, just come to the throne room of God, because I've been dancing over you and I've been singing over you and I have a plan and a purpose for you. God, these hands that are lifted this morning, God, we pray in the name of Jesus that they would understand that you are a loving Father. They might not have seen that in this physical life, but you're a father that has been waiting on his kids, God, to hold them and to grab a hold of them. God, that you dance over them, that you sing over them. God, you have been waiting for this moment in time to say, to pour out your love. So we pray, Lord, that you would do that this morning. God, that you would pour out the love of Jesus over them. That you would pour out the goodness of the Father over them. That you would remind them they're yours. God, they're your kids. And you love your kids. God, for anyone that's dealing with depression or anxiety, God, I pray for even one that would be feeling suicidal thoughts. We cancel that in the name of Jesus. Yeah, there's someone in the room that's dealing with that. God, we just pray right now. Could you just pray, if you're a believer and you're not, can you just sort of speak out loud? God, we cancel that assignment in the name of Jesus. And God, we speak the fullness of God over their minds. Lord, we speak the fullness of God over that depression, over that anxiety, God, over that suicidal thought. And God, we say no more. No more will the devil lie to you. No more will the enemy speak his lies over your life. God, right now we pray that the truth of God would begin to be spoken. We speak the truth of God over them, over their situation, Lord. We speak the love of God. God, we speak that you love your kids. God, we just speak that in the name of Jesus. Every demonic force gone in the name of Jesus. Over their lives. No more suicidal thoughts. No more anxiety. No more depression, Lord God. They're your kids. God, and we pray your angels will hover over them and speak into them. Holy Spirit, we pray that if that thought comes back, you will remind them that they are your kids. God, when that thought wants to take back their that place because it's been there for a little bit of time, God, we speak the name of Jesus over them. God, we thank you that you'll do that. If just with every head bowed and eye closed, if that's you in the room and you need to talk to someone, I'll be right here. I'm not leaving. Everybody else will be going out and doing their thing, but just have someone. You say, it's bad, and I need to talk to someone. I want to give you some help and some tools that we can get some help for you. I just feel like the Lord just saying that. So if that's you, just, or if you want to message us at the church, I actually read the meet and you feed, so just text us and say, God, I really need some help. This depression, anxiety, suicidal thoughts is more than I can bear. Grab a brother or sister and walk with you. For all the rest in the room, I just want to encourage you. Jesus comes to your neighborhood. He loves you. As you walk out those doors, go out to your neighborhood. He loves you. Take the good news of Jesus. We got flyers for Easter. Say, hey, come and hear of the good news of Jesus. It's going to be an incredible service. But remember, he comes to your neighborhood. So we're going to go to other people's neighborhood. Can I pray? And then we'll be dismissed. Lord, thank you for reminding us that the Word became flesh and dwelt among us full of grace and truth. God, when we walk out these doors, remind us that that same good news that happened this morning can happen for us, our next door neighbor, or our coworker Monday morning, or our person in school Monday afternoon. God, that same good news, we can go like John and say, but this is the good news for you too. And so that remind us this week. God, help us to be a people that go into our neighborhoods, that we wouldn't just shut ourselves in because the world's so bad, but rather we would go into the world but not be of it, because that's what Jesus was. You were in the world, but you were not of it. And so help us to go into our places, our spheres of influence, and bring the good news of Jesus everywhere we go. God, we thank you that you'll move. We thank you for next Sunday. God, we're praying for salvation even now, that people will give their life to Christ. We're praying for baptisms, Lord God, that there will be water baptized as evidence. God, that you will bring in new people, God, and that they will know Jesus and the goodness that you give. God, we pray when we walk out these doors, we'll make you famous and that your glory and renown will be the desire of our hearts. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Go and grab Miss Nicole, Dr. Nicole's book. She's outside. If you want to talk, I'm right here. We love you guys. We'll see you Wednesday at 6:30. Everything's back to normal, so we see you this Wednesday at 6:30. In Jesus' name, go and be a light to your neighborhood.